Superstars. It's a J-Dog. Round two, well, for some of us, round three is officially over. J-Dog, you get a chance to watch the games. You get a chance to get your teeth stuck into a cracking round of footy.
I did. Busy week. We had GP, cycling, and then footy also on.
GP, cycling. Yeah, it was actually a good weekend. Sports-wise, much loved.
Perfect.
Very much loved. I would say it was pretty good. Pretty good too. Hey, listen, before we get into it, today's episode is brought to you by Ditching the Diet. If you're looking to lose the kilos but keep the flavour, get onto Ditching the Diet. I'm 6 kilos down. I'll leave a link in the description. The great man, Baron Grant, his son, Jacob, we were following in Journey to the Draft last year. He is looking after today's episode for you. So if you've got a couple of extra kgs and you want to trim a couple, give him a buzz. He will definitely help you out. And you can look as good as me, but not as good as J-Dog, because he's the best looking person in this podcast. J-Dog, lots to get through. Round three, I'll give you my 5-minute wrap in just a moment. I think the first thing that I really want to do, though, is get stuck into the ladder and have a quick look at that. All right, ladder, ladies and gents. All right, GWS and Sydney sitting on top. They've played 3 games. That's why they're on top with 3 wins. GWS, what a cracking percentage, 165.7. Then we've got a conglomerate of 6 teams sitting on 8 points. Your mob, my mob, Fremantle, Geelong, Carlton, and Gold Coast. Outside of that, St Kilda, Western Bulldogs, Essendon, and yet to win a game so far, Brisbane Lions, Adelaide Crows, Richmond, Collingwood, North Melbourne, Hawthorn, and West Coast with a pitiful 49.6 on the percentage scale. Thoughts, feelings, what do you reckon?
Yeah, no, the bottom 12 are travelling well.
Yeah, they are. They might don't mind the bottom.
They might go zeros all through the season.
Pep. Is that?
Well, we've got Brisbane, Adelaide, Richmond, Collingwood, North, Hawthorn, West Coast. So we've got to round four in a round of in football league, in an AFL year, and never seen 7 teams on 0 points?
Not that I can remember. Much everyone got wins really easy last year, but this year, definitely not. One thing I am going to touch on later on in this episode is I have got something to say about the Collingwood Football Club. I want to send out a bit of a message to the Collingwood faithful out there, but also I've got some statistical analysis looking at why they've dropped compared to the Sydney Swans, who have skyrocketed so far at the start of this season. Everybody thinks that they are the benchmark, and I thought, let's just have a compare the pair and see what's going on with them all too. So let's jump into it. Hey, J-Dog, one thing I wanted to pick up with you was the games of footy on the weekend. My 5-minute wrap-up that I'm about to give in. I call it the gone in 60, round in 60 seconds, gone in 60 seconds. But we know it takes a little bit longer than 60 seconds. So I thought, you know what? Let's just roll through it. All right. St Kilda Collingwood, cracking game. Collingwood have got troubles. And I think that their older brigade are really looking slow. People that I thought would be getting another year or two, a.k.a. Pendlebury side bottom, Father Time has hit them. And they are a shell of their former selves. And St Kilda, they can only beat who's in front of them. And they played cracking hard, fast footy on the weekend. Mason Wood going down was an absolute travesty. He'd been playing some pretty good footy last year and so far this year, and to go down in just harrowing collision, breaking the collarbone as well too. It was just ugly. Probably the ugliest incident to come out of the weekend. But St Kilda, another year under the Ross Lyon system, they are looking pretty good. And Collingwood, they're going to find it very hard this week. It's going to be probably my game of the round early, except for one other one. Brisbane and themselves going in. Could you imagine if Collingwood are 0-4 at the end of this week? Considering that, how many people were going to set them up as premiership favourites going into the season? I'll get no idea.
Yeah, it was definitely in my top two of those two teams. So, yeah.
They were. Adelaide and Geelong. Look, I picked Adelaide simply because Adelaide at home, never lose. Adelaide just lose. They are woeful at the moment. They don't want to work hard. They are pathetic. You can't go blaming goal umpires this time, ladies and gentlemen. They are absolutely shocking in what they're rolling out at the moment. Geelong, they're just the Energizer Bunny, aren't they? Just when you think that the battery is drained, they just charge themselves up and they're able to just go again, and it is awesome. So it's have a look at this. Beautiful little update there from Lynn from I would love the Pies to be 4-0. You know what? 0-4. Lynn, I bloody well agree with you. I reckon we would love to see them 0-4. That would be the Ducks nuts, I reckon. Yeah, they've got plenty of, but Geelong, they just keep going and going. Tom Stewart, could go down as the greatest backman of this century. And we're only 24 years into it, but he could go down as one of the all-time greatest. And, Geelong just keep doing what Geelong do. North Melbourne, Fremantle. I actually watched a fair bit of this game. I was really excited by what North Melbourne showed up. Their young kids, geez, they've got some spunk. They've had enough draft picks to pick them all up. Let's be honest. Dersma, McKercher, Sheasel, Wardlow. They've got Larky. They've got Zerha. They've just got no back line. Their older players are letting them down, I would say, a little bit. But they were 5 goals up at one stage in this game, and Fremantle came back. Luke Jackson, my God, is he a freak? Like, he is a freak. He's the modern-day Cooter, but can play ruck. That's how good his guy is going to be. I reckon it's out of him, and if he keeps going the way he's at, it's going to be him and Max Gorn for All-Australian Ruckman. I don't think anybody will get even close to either of those two. That's how he was on the weekend. Like, 10 coaches votes, and I would have given him another 10 if they were that awesome. But, yeah, North ran out of petrol tickets. Interesting what they're going to roll against Carlton this weekend. Hawthorn, Melbourne. Not really much to say about this game. Melbourne had to win this game just because they have to win these games. And they're always a little bit tricky, these ones against Hawthorn. They always show us up a little bit. Hawthorn looked putrid. If you ever want to not watch a quarter of football, don't watch the first. When Sicily had, I think, 9 or 10 marks in the first quarter, they were playing a game of chip, chip, chippity chip, and it was disgusting. All I will say, though, is Petrarca is a freak. Oliver is a freak. May and Lever potentially not playing this week due to injuries. It's going to be a bit of a tough one for them against your mob, which we're going to get into a little bit later on. But they did well to still score 93 points, win by 55. Very, very happy. Just consolidates with three hard weeks coming into it. Sydney and Essendon, the hard edge. I don't want to hear hard edge, just fake toughness. That's what it was. And you know what was tough? The way that Sydney played that game, 131 points to 101. And we're going to talk a little bit about scoring because that's the type of scoreline that I like to see. But Sydney, they are the benchmark of the competition at the moment. I still have them a little bit in front of GWS because I probably trust them a little bit more. But I really like what they rolled out. Essendon, you just don't know how to chase. I'm sorry, you're pathetic. Your downhill skill is at the finest as well too. So absolutely woeful, as I would say. Western Bulldogs versus Gold Coast. I picked Gold Coast to win this one. Too much sniffing of the coconut lotion, I must say, and they were disgusting. The Doggies came out. My mate, Cody Waitman, we know that what he did, a bit of...
Bad fags, fags, he love it when the chicken. Bad fags, it's got to be 6 or more.
It was 6 or more. He kicked the bag. Had 4 in the first quarter. They took away this game. Everything that the Gold Coast served up in the first couple was taken away last week. And, yeah, really disappointing result, especially for the margin itself too. Like, that was almost a fitty. That's how bad it was. So, Gold Coast, just when you think they take 2 steps forward, they take 1 step back with a result like that one there. West Coast GWS. Look, I thought this is going to be a hungy. Harley Reid is the only good thing in the West Coast at the moment, but doesn't matter. In 2 years' time, he'll be back in Victoria. GWS, they went over there. They won. Not much more to say. Move on. Richmond versus Port Adelaide. Hey, Richmond had a crack. They've got more. They've got that many injuries. That team is banged up more than Stevie Wonder's toes. That is how bad that mob is at the moment. And Port Adelaide, Travis Boak, I love you. You're amazing. 350 games. He is heart, soul, and in my eyes will go down as probably the best Port Adelaide clubman. Didn't say player. Clubman. He had many, many times to come back to the great state of Victoria and said, not on my watch, and I'm staying right here. And Port Adelaide got the win. So hopefully you were okay with that one there, J-Dog.
It was a comprehensive wrap-up, Peps. I just want to put on the record, end of round 3, that the 2 ruckmen that Melbourne had on their list are now probably the 2 most dominant ruckmen in the AFL at the moment, that being Grundy and that being Luke Jackson.
Yep. And look,
and you've got little Mitch Tit's gone, who just gets knocked around by little blokes and gets upset about it, and your team won't go in and bat for him.
Yep, fair enough. Okay, that's fine, J-Dog. Jackson was always going to go back. We got two first rounders for him, so I'm okay with that. And Grundy, I reckon we should have pushed harder for him to stay. But like I said, it's hard to, he might have the Ferrari, but when you got the Bugatti in front of you, you're still always going to be number two. So, hey, Lyle, don't you start with that Melbourne got rid of them. No, we didn't. One wanted to go back. One wanted more opportunity. But I love that you're showing some passion, and make sure that you like, subscribe, and join this magnificent podcast on YouTube as well too.
Lyle's fantastic. Already a big fan of Lyle's work.
He's doing all right. He's good. He hasn't been on before, but also, and Fang Ali's here as well too. CP6 and the J-Dog, love to see you every single time. So, Jamie, over to you. I've got some things I want to talk about, but you wanted to start something off first and foremost, and I think it's a quite important topic because it is potentially the way that football is played is, not good at the moment. Talk to me.
All right. So, I don't want to open... If you hadn't seen our show last week and you haven't seen our YouTube channel, we put up a little 12-minute segment video where I discussed the advantages that Geelong had by training and playing at home, how no other club has that advantage. That video for us, we're not a big footy channel. We're just a couple of
guys. We want to be the biggest. We want to be the number one. Like Ricky Bobby's dad said, if you're not first, you're last. And we don't want to be last. We want to be number one. So you've got to like and subscribe, ring the bell, and tell all your cousins, aunties, uncles about Lace Out. But keep going.
No, well, we go through the comments. Peps and I actually do go through the comments and read them and analyze them. And one of the comments there that was interesting was we also discussed the Tasmanian stadium, Peps. If you can remember that, we sort of branched off talking about Tasmania. And one of the questions around how, like, the Tasmania stadium, to be what it has to be, it has to have a roof on it. And then that pinged an idea to me, Peps. And it made me think about this particular type of footy supporter. And it is, what type of fan are you and do you enjoy the high scoring? And before you jump in, I was thinking about, like, we sit through 2.5 hours or 3 hours on a Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Friday, Thursday, in some cases now for TV audiences. Do supporters want to sit through and watch a high scoring game, or do supporters prefer a grinder, a 36-47, a 67-52 game, or do we want to see the high scores? Because, well, actually, no, before I go on, Peps, what kind of supporter are you? Do you want to see the high scores, or do you want to see the slow one, the little ones?
Dude, look, I love your passion. I love your passion, J-Dog. I've loved you for many, many years. We've been doing this for 7 years now. That's the passion that we have. But do not give me the slow grind. Don't give me the grinder out of anything whatsoever. I bore me to death. If I want to watch a low-scoring, grinding game, I'll go and watch the A-League because that'll put anybody to sleep. I like tough football. I like contested football, but I like to see a score. I want at least both teams kicking at least 10 goals each. I don't want to see low 40s and low 50 scores. I want to see at least 70s and 80s. I reckon 80s is a nice number because you're looking at around about 12 goals minimum each, plus a couple of points. But you've got to be kicking goals because that's what it's all about. I don't want to see the grinds. And I think a lot of people get that mixed up. It's got to be low scoring to be close. No, it doesn't. You have a look at some of the finals from last year. They were quite decent scoring-wise, around about 160 combined points. But they were hard contested, ebbs and flows, back and forths, ups and downs type of competitions. I want to see that. I don't mind them having, 90 to 86. I don't mind it tight, but I want to see scoring as well too. I don't just want to see a defensive grind like we saw with Sydney, with the Doggies, with the Flood and all that sort of stuff. I want to see the free-flowing gorgeousness. That's the football that we have been seeing so far in 2024. I want more of that.
Love it.
I want pressure around it as well too.
Well, I have a solution for you.
What is that solution?
Roofs on stadiums.
Okay.
Marvel, statistically, even though people don't want to go there, it's cold, it's blah, 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 it's not the home of football. Roofs on stadiums gives you your scores. If we look at just from 2013 to 2024, we've got a lot of teams averaging. The average score there is around 87.5.
Okay.
Score four. If you look at other ones like the MCG, GMHBA, Adelaide Oval, and other outdoor arenas, we're looking at sort of mid to low 70s as the average score.
Yep. Okay.
You go to Marvel.
Yep.
You get a high score. Both teams kick high scores. I think the new Tasmanian stadium has to have a roof.
It has to have a roof.
And
that's the only way they're going to get out.
Right. The Brisbane new ground is going to have a roof. If we want to encourage high scores, we need to put roofs on things. But my question is, Peps, does that detract from some people who are, it's a winter sport, plays outdoors?
Can I say yes?
You can say, oops, of course.
Okay. So I like, you know, many people don't like going to Telstra Dome, Marvel Stadium, whatever, because it's cold. And I think a lot of it has to do with the roof. Funny enough, because there's no outdoor atmosphere. That's what I think. But if I go to the local footy, I love being outdoors. But I also do think what I do like is hard and fast grinding footy, like back and forth. Actually, I think watching games at Marvel on TV is probably the best viewing experience that you can have.
Yep.
You have to win the game outside. At the end of the day, finals are not played at the Marvel Stadium. And I think that they should, now that the AFL owns it, if you've got clubs who've got smaller, you know, I can't see why the Doggies can't play finals at Marvel. I can't see why St Kilda can't play finals at Marvel, especially if it's against an interstate team. I have no issue with that. I don't have an issue with the Geelong Football Club playing their finals down there as well, only if the ticket split is 50-50. But I like it under the roof, and I think there's a time and a place for it, especially in the middle of winter. You're going to need it down in Tassie, and you're definitely going to need it in Melbourne. I don't think you need it in Queensland, but I do like what you've got to say about it. I really do like what you're saying about it. I think you've definitely got some merit there, big guy.
Because you've hit the nail on the head. Footy season this year, it feels like it started earlier, and we are getting some glorious weather at the moment. We're getting games where they're 30 degree pluses.
Yes, we are.
So dry weather football, dry decks, perfect atmospheric conditions in terms of not having a greasy ball like they talk about when you go up north.
Yep.
And I'm just like, if we're enjoying what we're seeing.
You're still going to get humid conditions in Queensland. So I don't think it's going to make much of a difference if you've got a roof.
The roof on, though, would you get it the same thing? You wouldn't get the rise off the ground and then the grass and the air meeting and causing greasy conditions? I like weather, Peps.
Now, well, think about it at home. Like, even when you got the air conditioner at home, you still get it a bit.
Oh, yeah. I didn't even think about air conditioning stadium. Peps, you've opened up my eyes to an air conditioning stadium.
That's what they have over in Vegas. Allegiant Stadium apparently is all air conditioning, etc. And good on them too. But no, I do think it's a faster deck. It's not just the roof. I think it's even the way that the ground, like it is that thin in terms of the grass to the concrete. It's just a faster, there's no wind. It's slick. The air's thinner. It's just a really nice, quick game of football to watch. But it lacks the atmosphere of the G or an outdoor stadium, in my opinion.
No, it does. But I've just noticed this also, like you're watching an outdoor game. The G is really bad for it, and so is Adelaide Oval, is the shadows. It's just,
yes, you
cannot see the game.
So I think it was the game against the Doggies a couple of weeks ago, the Melbourne game, which was a Sunday afternoon at 1 o'clock, and they had to put the lights on because of the shadows coming across the stand. They ask you to put the lights on to maybe dim it down. Like that's, but yeah, then you get the artificial lights. So look, I think
it's unprecedented though. We're playing in early March. It's unprecedented.
It is. And this weekend is going to be 30 degrees across the board. 30 degrees late March. Like,
yeah,
it's global warming. Don't get me started on that fallacy, but it is. It's global warming. But, no, I agree. I love a fast game of footy, especially, and I think that's the thing. If you've got two fast attacking teams, how could you not get excited by that? But if you've got two grindy type of teams, so Sydney GWS, that will be a grindy, high-scoring game because you've got two absolute beastie midfields, but you've got two forward lines that are awesome, and you've got two back lines. Right? Yeah, so that is going to be a grindy, fasty. That's the type that I want to see.
Grindy, fasty.
A grindy fasty. I don't mind.
You need to put that on a t-shirt.
Oh, we're like crawling in the ocean. We can buy these too, by the way, if you want. Let me know.
That's not a channel just called Grindy Fasty.
Grindy Fasty. We can even have an app called Grindy Fasty. I think we've got something in there. But yeah, I like the Grindy Fasty, but you don't want to watch a West Coast North Melbourne grindy, because that would just be a snooze.
Slow grind.
That would be a slow grind. And there are a time and a place for a slow grind on a football field. It definitely is not the place.
No.
No. All right. So I do agree. I think fast footy under the dome, especially if the teams can play it as well too. So we know Geelong, Carlton, and we know St Kilda like that fastness. They look really good. You throw them in with the doggies. Hello, ladies. Dinner's on. You've got a football feast for the eyes.
So do we have it right, everyone? Our listeners and viewers, do you prefer a fast deck under the light, under the roof, or do you prefer an open ground slog as well?
I like a grindy fasty. And can I ask a quick question? Sure. Did St Kilda win on the weekend? Buzz is here. Well, because Buzz is here. So Buzz has joined us. They must have won. Great to hear that the great man's back as well too. So every day, everybody, Bo Hawkins is saying the MCG every day of the week, but North never play there. Understandable, but yeah, it's good. I like it. I like the banter that we're getting at the moment, where people like outdoors, people like indoors. About Buzz is on every week. Apparently, we just never hear from him if St Kilda lose. But your team are going great guns at the moment, Buzz, and we are absolutely happy for you. All right, J Dog, I've got a message now. I need to just read something out to all of the Collingwood supporters out there. So I'm going to go full screen on this. Do you mind if I just go to full screen on this one? Just need to move you just to there, because this is something that I just need to go full screen on for this. It's pretty important, and I just want to, the Collingwood supporters out there, I just want you just to take a moment and just sit back, relax, and just listen to the words, because I want to spend some time together. So, all right, Pies fans, let's gather around the misery fire. Let's talk about the elephant in the MCG. I mean, the less than ideal start to the season. Three games, three losses. It's enough to make Eddie McGuire cry into his meat pie. And look, we get it. You're Collingwood. You wouldn't be Collingwood if you didn't spend half the season forgetting how to kick a footy. At the moment, Darcy Moore is now Darcy much less. Jeremy Howe is Jeremy I have no idea. And big Mason Cox is pretty much Mason Flaccid. But here's the thing, Pies supporters. You got to remember that little flag that you got hold of at the end of last year. That wasn't a dream. You are premiers and you can turn it around. That sound of Collingwood haunting the opposition supporters is now the sound of footsteps as you leave in droves midway through the final quarter. Now, you've got to remember your winning ways. Here's the one thing that you really do well. You don't forget how to play nice when you're on top. You remember last year? You were the kings of the close game and the masters of the run and gun that everybody is copying the gameplay of. Well, basically everyone except West Coast who have adopted it in 2024. So, Pies fans, I want you to suck it up. You've been here before. It's called Collingwood Way, a roller coaster ride of emotions that would make your nana dizzy. But here's the good news. You have a culture, a team, a coaching staff that's second to none. Even Craig McRae couldn't mess this up badly. Or could he?
All right.
In all seriousness, it will get better. You just got to weather the storm, nudge, nudge, wink, win. Chin up, Pies fans. The premiership defense is still on. What do you reckon, big dog?
That was very lovely of you, Peps. A bit of a whack, but then, you know, encouraging at the end.
It's got to be a bit encouraging, but I just want to get into this a little bit more because there are reasons for their demise so far in season 2024. Because you look at what they did last year and how they played consistently throughout the season, and they have a look at what they've been doing so far in 2024. And what I wanted to do is I wanted to compare that to a team that's playing really awesome football so far this year, which is the Sydney Swans. Now, I've done some research and I've taken basically the averages of season 2023 and the averages of season 2024 and done a comparison in determining if they're higher or lower and how much of a percentage they are up on those statistics. So this was actually quite fascinating. When you read out the statistics of where they've gone positive, it makes a little bit of sense. But the ones that they've gone negative of, you will just absolutely blow your mind. So let me go through some things for you. All right. So from a disposal perspective, they're averaging just over 4% less a game. Now, this is the one that killed me. Inside 50s, they are 22% less so far this year than that they rolled out in 2023. They're not even getting the ball inside 50 whatsoever. They're averaging 2 goals less a game, so they're not getting it in and they're not scoring. They're also, their tackle count is down 14%. Their hitouts, though, are up 15. So they're getting their hands on the ball first. Cox and Cameron are getting their hands on the ball, but everybody around is not getting their hands on it themselves. They're getting beaten to it by the opposition. Their contested marks are down 10% per game. Their one percenters, smothers, shepherds, hit-on, tap-ons are down 14% from last year. Their bounces are down 55% per game so far. So they're not even getting the ball. They're not even attacking with it. They don't even have the space to run and gun as they did last year. Interestingly enough, though, their centre clearances are up 27%. So as soon as the ball gets out of the middle, they're just not working hard whatsoever. Their metres gained is down 5%. And their intercepts are up 4%, which is understandable when you have a look at the opposition is getting the ball more than them. It's coming in a lot more. They're going to intercept it as well too. All right. So I want to compare that to Sydney Swans. So the Swans, from a disposal perspective, exactly the same as last year. All right. But their inside 50s are up 9%. Now, we spoke about football teams being very dour. Sydney Swans have been a very defensive-oriented team. Now they're attacking a lot more, and they're bringing the ball, like I said, 9% more inside 50s this year compared to last. They're kicking 25% more goals, so around about 3 goals per game more than they did in the previous season. Their tackle count is down 5%, which makes a bit of sense, because if you've got the ball, you're not going to be tackling yourself. Their hitouts are up 12%, and that would have to do with Grundy joining. So they've got someone in the ruck that's being able to get their hands on the ball first and feeding that out to their own ballers. Disposal efficiency has not changed. Their contested marks are down a little bit more. They're down by 30%. So that tends to make me feel that they're not kicking to contests, one-on-one, two-on-one. They're opening up the ground a little bit more, switching it, getting some easier ball. Their one percenters are up 15%, so they're doing the little things more often than they did last year. Same bounces, same set of clearances. They're up 2% in metres gained, which is around about 100 metres, so it's only 25 metres a quarter, give or take. And their intercepts are up as well too by 1, so it's not a big change. But it just goes to show that the biggest difference between those two teams came down to inside 50s, one went up quite considerably. One's gone down quite considerably. The tackle count has gone, one gone up considerably, one's gone down. But the interesting one is those one percenters. Like I said, the things that you really don't get a stat for are the biggest difference between what Sydney has made got better at this year and the opposite of what Collingwood have done. So to me, it sounds like Collingwood, they're not working for each other. They're not doing the little things that they were doing last year. The taps, the knock-ons, the shepherds, the smothers, those little things that garnered those extra couple of extra inside 50s, which garnered those extra goals, which allowed them to win by those small margins. And you have a look at Sydney, they're doing the complete opposite as well too. So it, there is a science behind it that it just comes down to work rate. They are not having the same work rate as they did last year. Pendlebury, I didn't think I'd say this, but from one season to the next, he looks slow. Side bottom's not having the same effect. Howell's not having the same effect. Mason Cox, no, don't worry about him. Jamie Elliott's getting a little bit older as well. He's not having the same effect. They've got a lot of stars over that 30 range. They've got like 8 players or 9 players in that 30 range in their team at the moment. And Geelong have been able to hide it relatively well, but they did miss finals in the previous season. And for start.
Okay. Go. I was going to ask you, do you think that this whole Collingwood drop-off or Sydney improve? Do you think it's effort or care?
But, well, they're both the same, I think. If you care, you will put more effort in.
If you don't, I'm just saying tap ones for your...
No, you just don't. No, you don't. You're not caring about your output. You're not caring about the team's output, and you're not doing those little things that you would do for your teammates.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because...
And you know, you've played sport. You've played lots of hockey over the years. I've played lots of footy over the years. And you know the teams that are tight, they would do anything for each other. And then you've got the other people who just, you know what, I'm not going to really worry about anyone else. All I'm going to worry about is myself. Now, the interesting thing was that Nick Dacos was supposed to go to the Grand Prix on the weekend, and the club banned him. So what's that saying? The number one marquee player who apparently had the best 50 games to ever start a career was not allowed by his club to go to the Grand Prix, which he is a monster athlete, if that makes sense.
Okay. Ambassador.
Yeah, ambassador. So, yep.
We've seen this with other coaches, we've seen this with other teams where they're stacked with talent. So they put in effort on an individual basis, but they're not prepared to do the effort or have the care for the team game.
Well, there's that classic saying, J-Dog, hard work beats talent when talent doesn't work hard.
Yeah.
And
good one.
That's what they're not doing. They've got plenty of talent. The interesting thing is as well, too, I had a 50th on the weekend, and the same group of people went camping with, Heathy Buxton, who's on the chat with us, an absolute superstar, came to the conclusion that Collingwood were the worst grand final premiers in recent history.
Well, how do you mean?
Because they weren't dominant. They weren't a dominant team. Really, they didn't dominate through the finals. I think they won all finals by a combined 15 points.
Yeah, it's like what Dom Toretto says in Fast and the Furious.
Our family?
Does that? Don't even mean right. Inch or a mile, Peps. Yep. Winning is winning.
Hey, look, winning is winning. But they didn't dominate like other teams throughout the years. Richmond dominated their year. Melbourne dominated, obviously, the final side of things, but they had a really good record working in. Geelong dominated virtually the entire season. You could say Collingwood in their older ones. So they didn't really dominate last year. They did win a lot of games by the smell of an oily rag. And the games that they were winning last year through that extra effort, through those one percenters, et cetera, they're not bringing the milkshakes to the yard this year, okay? Now, I love this comment that's just been brought up. The best clubs push players to be better when they're uncomfortable instead trying to be comfortable. Bo Hawkins, I love what you are bringing. That is absolutely, love it. Absolutely love it. So really, really appreciate that as well too. So your thoughts, what do you reckon?
No,
I want to thank your listeners as well too. I think there's as Hightower said in Police Academy 2, the meter don't lie. The meter don't lie. And that meter of those stats, it don't lie. And it's showing results so far.
I'm interested in what I think people on the chat and people you talked about footy, they're saying the same sorts of things. It looks like a different Collingwood. It feels like a different Collingwood.
I don't think anyone's scared of Collingwood this year. Last year you were like, ooh, who's gonna beat Collingwood? Now it's like, I'm not scared of Collingwood.
Yeah.
St Kilda, I didn't pick St Kilda to win last week. I feel like an idiot. They ran them off their feet. They were gorgeous last week.
They were good.
Yep. They were absolutely good. Look at the Hawks when they won their three-peat. No one was scared everyone was scared of Hawthorn. No one really was scared of Collingwood. Now I'm going to get some blowback from the Collingwood supporters when I post this on YouTube later on. And that's fine. But the facts are facts. And I'd say that about any team who hasn't performed.
Yeah. So for viewers and listeners, do you agree with Peps? Is it effort? Is it all those stats that basically are telling the truth behind Collingwood and a Sydney picking up where Collingwood left off last year?
Yep. No, I'm pretty buoyant on what I'm seeing from a lot of clubs at the moment. Brisbane, with them, it's just all above the shoulders. I think I trust Brisbane a little bit more, but it's all above the shoulders with that mob. But Collingwood, geez, if they lose this week, it is it's going to be pretty ugly. And Craigie Jones just said it perfectly once again. It's just the fact that the Collie wobbles are a thing. They are a thing, and they're not a pretty thing. So, all right.
Jados, so you want to have a chat about something that's come up to broke yesterday, but it's come up today in terms of
exactly right.
Us versus them and whatever the rules you want to put out there.
Look, I believe in equality. I believe that there's no difference between men and women, okay, outside of the physiological side of things. So from a work perspective, we can do the same work. There's no reason why what I do in jobs, females can do, and there's no reason there's jobs that females do that I could do. Fair bit, all right? I believe equality in sport, all right? I believe, you know, the tennis side of things, same pay for men and women, etc. Yet, what blew my mind completely away in the last 24 hours, there were two AFLW Sydney players that have tested positive for cocaine. Okay, so be it. What I did not know, and by the way, how long has the AFL drug code been in place? Would you say more than 7-8 years?
I feel like it's before the Ben Cousins was the one where we really tightened it up.
Okay, so it's been around for over 10 years. It's been longer than AFL.
2012.
Right. Don't have the exact figures on me, so like I said, don't hold me to that. But I found out today, and Heathy Buxton has been on the chat talking about this, that the AFLW do not have a drug policy. They don't even have strikes. So they could go out and get on the crystal pistol, they could snort the Charlie, or they could puff the magic dragon as much as they possibly could, and there is no drug policy to literally get them out of the game. They're just going to cop a two-game slap on the wrist, and that's it.
Illicit drug
policy. How? Oh, listen. But how, Jamie? How does that work when there's supposed to be equality across both games? The female game is coming after the men's one, and they don't have a drugs policy. And here's the other thing. When Clayton Oliver had his dramas, Joel Smith had his dramas, Ginevan had his, Bailey Sniff had all of his. It was in the news. So the question is, Jamie, Well, the real question in my eyes, I don't think it's the drug policy, but does anybody really care, even the AFLW, about AFLW?
Oh. Yeah, look, I don't see it as an, I don't look at it as a quality thing, Peps. I'm more flabbergasted at the fact that it's promoted as a professional sport and we are led to believe that it is all these other things, that they just don't have this very, I would have thought, a pretty common thing in place these days for a professional sporting league to have something around illicit drug policies.
Yeah.
The ban, all that, I don't really mind about all that. Because if you've got no code in place, then how can you hold someone to a code that doesn't exist? I just find it perplexing that they do not even have a policy.
It blows my... Willie Rioli, even though he was a dickhead for what he did, how long did he miss? 2 years?
2 or 3 years.
3 years? Okay, he did something.
Jesse Hogan's his name, like all these guys on film.
Whitfield had to miss games. O'Keefe, and there was another one I can't remember, from Collingwood, missed years of football because of the illicit drug policy. And for the women not to have something, anything in place, it's mind-boggling. And if I was a man playing the game in the AFL, I'd be looking away going, how is it that we have to wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning, 5 o'clock in the morning with ASADA or WADA or whoever, knocking on our door having to pee in a cup, and these girls have nothing? Yet you want quality. I just do not understand how that got. I just don't understand how that one got through to the keeper without anybody.
Yeah.
Well, added some of the umpiring decisions that we've had so far this year. That is the bigger miss than Ben Key's goal that he kicked last year, which wasn't paid.
I don't know. It's just, I get that things go through the cracks in organizations. We're both worked for organizations. We know how things can just sometimes happen. Things get through people.
Yep.
But to not, someone to just not look at the dossier at the end of the meeting and go, Jamie, where's that drugs policy? Or like just someone to just even say something. That's just mind blowing to me.
Yeah, it is absolutely stunning how it got there. And I've got no idea. So that's just come up. They're going to probably get a couple of two
2 weeks.
And I'm not going to start going into the names or whatever because I don't really care. I just think the whole concept of, you know, what's good for the goose should be for the gander, but the gander gets off completely scot-free. That's not right. But, hey, I want to hear from you guys. Am I right? Am I wrong? Who's made the mess up here? And I think it's the AFL. So I'd be really keen to hear it from your perspective. Yep.
Speaking of things that we don't understand.
Yes.
I don't want to talk about a Peps, but I'm going to talk about it. 2 meter Peter, 4 weeks. Feel right? Just give me a snapshot.
Crikey.
Give me a snapshot.
I don't know. The issue that we have is that it's slowed down.
Even at full speed looked not great, though.
At full speed didn't look great. But then I hear comments and I get completely lost.
Yeah.
Such as... So, the player who is running with the flight of the ball, they've got to give way to the person who's coming at the ball?
No, the person who's running with the flight of the ball, the person who is coming out the other direction, has a care of duty.
Okay, care of duty. See, I don't think he maliciously went out to deck him at all. But the issue that I have with it, though, is that the whole... Like, he didn't even put his hands up to mark it or to spoil it. Think of what Marbol Chol did to Stephen May. He would have got off completely. No issue. Stephen May's with 2 cracked ribs and a crack in his vertebrae. No issue because he made a spoil. If he had done that, he could have cleaned him up completely and then we wouldn't even be talking about this.
Mm.
I think it's the whole bump and brace, but he also has a right to protect himself as well.
Yeah.
And the issue that we have as an AFL media, well, now we're not accredited, so we can say virtually whatever we want. But these players get scrutinized to the inch of their lives. And the first player that pulls out of a contest because of care of duty to the opposition will get raked over the coals. And I would love for them to come out and go, well, what the hell do you want me to do? Do you want me to make a contest and rub the guy out for 4 weeks? Or do you want me to pull out and look like a complete... You tell me what the answer is and I'll do it. Because that is the decision I don't have the answer to. I know you don't have the answer to, but that is what it is. It is the exact... Look at this. Lee Moss, all the way over from beautiful Perth, it is trial by media. That's exactly what this is. It's trial by media.
Yeah.
Max King got a week, but that was a bit lazy with his shoulder. But Isaac Heaney punches somebody in the face and gets off. So I don't get it anymore, J-Dog. Like, it's, if your name's Chris Pepper, you're going to get absolutely smashed. But if your name's Jamie Wallace, we're going to let you off.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe I'm conditioned, but 4 weeks kind of feels right. But maybe I've been conditioned now to just go hitting the head, high contact, blah, 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 concussion, 4 weeks. But it also wouldn't surprise me if the AFL came out and said 8 weeks. Like, you know, like I'm kind of glad that now.
Yep. Yep. I don't know. I'm just loving everything that's coming in at the moment on the chat. Like, look at our Pep, the AFL's employed a female to sort this instance out. I'm with Wayne Carey, the game's going backwards. I don't think the game's going backwards. I think the lawyers have taken over. They've sort of gone too far one way. They've got to be shown to be doing something. But yeah, I think it is. It's no good. It's no good.
Yeah.
And I keep hearing Sam Palpepper got 4 weeks for a player spun into him. No. Palpepper went through and cleaned him up. Let's be honest. I'm not pissing in anybody's pocket here. But for what Palpepper got and what Peter Wright got, you can't say that they're the exact same thing. Palpepper went in and cleaned him up. Sorry. I can't agree with you on that one. And if it was my team or anybody else's team, I'd say exactly the same thing.
All right. What else are we going to talk about tonight, Peps?
So what haven't we spoken about tonight?
Go
for it.
No, I was just going to talk about what I was going to talk about from last week that we didn't actually discuss, which is around what we have a new feature available on our show.
Yes, you can. And there's something else, but I reckon we'll hold that off until next week about the footy. I reckon we'll hold that out. A lot of that footy is kicking off either this week or next week. So I reckon it's a perfect time to sort of start off. So one of the things that we've introduced is if you go to our Spotify page on your laptop, on your computer, you can leave us a message. So you can interact with us directly and leave us a voicemail message. And what we will do is we'll listen to that and reply to your question straight away. So we're going to be doing that. We're going to be allowing you to just jump in, give us feedback, ask us a question. You can play it on the air. We will. I think we should be able to. But we want more interaction with yourself. So there's questions that are on the, on the chat that keep coming up. There's questions on the YouTube page always coming up. We love it. Mate, I've even got a question here. It's not even a question. It's a statement. Bring back the fantail, Jamie. They're asking us to bring back the fantail. Wants to come back. So if it's not this week, we might have to do it the week after. But the fantail, Bo Hawkins loves it. But jump into our Spotify page. Leave us an interaction. Leave us a message. And we'll read it out. We'll listen to it live.
We'll play it. We'll play it and then answer your question.
Well, exactly right. So it's a new interaction. It's laced out. It's how you want your football. We're one big community and we're all just trying to get the best out of each other. So that's an awesome little thing that we've brought in. So once again, only on the Facebook,
Spotify.
Yep. Spotify web page. You just kind of do it through that. You might be able to do it through the app, but I'm on Android and I can't figure it out. Besides that, J-Dog, 1 week at a time. Games we're looking forward to this week. Rightio. It's going to be a quick one because there's only really two games that I'm really looking forward to. Actually, there is.
No, there's some good ones. There's some Easter stuff. It's Easter weekend.
There are some good games. Look, let's be frank. The games that I'm really looking forward to, and hopefully the same as you, Brisbane and Collingwood. how can you look past two teams? One team's sitting at what, 2-3-0. The other one's 2-0. The other one's 3-0. Someone could go four. Someone is going to be something in zero by the end of it. All right.
Tick. That's what I'm looking forward to.
Okay. The next one I'm actually looking forward to is, I didn't think of this until I read it. We're talking about fast football. Don't talk about the hotspot. Don't talk about the Castrol Edge. What about the Essendon Edge taking on St Kilda at Marvel Stadium, 4:20 Saturday afternoon? That is going to be lightning. It's going to be lightning.
Yeah, good one.
That'll be a good one. Let's be honest, between the two of us, it's the Byron, it is the Byron Pickett, the Byron Pickett plate that we're looking forward to. The Port Adelaide versus Melbourne. Lord, Adelaide Oval, 7 PM.
The Tumpus Pickett Watts.
Yep.
Shield.
Yes, that's exactly the one that we are looking for. The BTP, the TP Dub Shield. Looking forward to. So one of us is gonna have the bragging rights next week. And outside of that, so Western Bulldogs, West Coast, not really. Richmond, Sydney, nah, that'll be over. Hawthorn, Geelong, nothing there. Actually, the other game that I've got a bit of an interest in, I'm looking forward to the crowd. Apparently, it's almost for a crowd side. So I mean, it's a sellout. Will be the North Melbourne Carlton Good Friday game as well too. So that's going to be a belter. Hopefully, North Melbourne can last a little bit longer than a half of football, because if they do, I reckon their mids will give Carlton a nice little gap. I just think their backline has come up.
Any interest in Hawthorn Geelong?
No.
Is anyone interested in that game anymore, really?
Not at the moment. A bit like the opening game where Carlton were really shit for so many years and Richmond just smashed them. That's got more history than that opening game. There's been some absolutely cracking finishes, but not too sure. But a couple of things that have been brought up. Craigie Jones asked me, am I happy with Melbourne staying in Adelaide for the week? Yeah, I don't have an issue with it, because they're playing Port Adelaide on the Saturday and then they're playing Adelaide on the Thursday. So why would you fly, then go back 3 days later, fly back, just stay there for the week? We like a bit of bubble action. That's what won us a flag. So I like
it. It's also a beautiful city.
It is a beautiful city. And the best thing to come out of Adelaide is the Hume Highway. Daniela Williams is TD, Tori, the absolute superstar. Hello, my dear. Great to see you as well. So, but mate, the chat has just been going absolutely berserk. The game on Friday is sold out. Like I said, football is in a really good spot. There are always going to be things that we're going to be talking about, but I am. And Tori's actually going to Adelaide for the week. So fingers crossed the boys are going to do it for you. And hopefully you and I, we have a relationship, J-Dog, after this weekend as well.
Maybe.
Okay, fair enough. All right. So, ladies and gentlemen, that is it. That is Lace Out round 2 or 3, depending on how many games you played, review for this week. Hot topics to come out of it. Remember, like, subscribe, ring the bell on our YouTube channel, subscribe to the podcast. We just love each and every single one of you joining us week in, week out. Our numbers are growing, and we want to say thank you to you. Let everybody know this is the podcast. We are aiming to be the number one AFL non-club affiliated podcast, vodcast, in the country. And we can't do that without you. So that's about it. But J-Dog, once again, thank you for your awesomeness tonight. And I just have one simple question for you. Jamie the J-Dog Wallace, Port Adelaide's number one Torquay supporter, how do you want your footy?
I want it lace out.
So do I. Hope your team wins this week, everybody. Except that. No, yeah. Yeah. David.